I want you to help me preach that is going to be easily received, and some of you may be repulsed by it, but I'm going to ask for your indulgence that you will help me preach. Book of Revelation, chapter 20. You'll have to watch this, Tony. My voice is not strong. You'll have to try to do what you can with it. Revelation, chapter 20. And verse number 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. God would help me for a few minutes. I want to preach to you with your help on an excursion through hell. An excursion through hell. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Hell is not a joke. The most deadly, serious subject in the realm of human thought is the word hell. But in our time, hell has become a party joke. People joke and make fun of it. Very few people take seriously the thought of hell or eternal retribution that's going to come upon them that are not born again. Some consider hell just an illusionary place where all sinners eventually get together and have one great big party and continue their sinning. They joke as though hell may not have had all the comforts and conveniences of heaven, but it won't be too bad after all. You've heard them say, laughingly heard them say, at least I'll have plenty of company shoveling coal. Hell. That statement is usually followed by laughter when it should be followed by terror. They make it sound like the contemplation of hell is just another place like Niagara Falls, or just another place like Louisville, Kentucky, or Nashville. Just a place that a person can pass through, see a few sights, and be merrily on your way. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The reality of it is, there is a place called hell. Whether we want to think of it or not, it is not as we suppose. Satan doesn't rule there. He's not the king over it. They've conceived it because they got him as a cloven foot, tailed, red demon that just lets things go on in hell. But he's not the ruler of it. He dreads it. He trembles at the thought of it. He knows he's going there. To him, it is a reality. The most terrifying fact he faces is the fact that he will spend eternity in the lake of fire. You see, in the back of a lot of people's minds, they just think it's just one big party. But down in their hearts, in those lonely moments, in those times when things get quiet, and they know that they have backslid on God, gone away from God, had a praying mama, had a praying daddy, they get second thoughts. Hell is no joke. Hell is a reality. Do you ever worry about hell? Does hell ever trouble you? Does hell ever trouble you about your children, about those that you love? It should. It should terrify us.
Yes, sir.
Not many people today know God's definition of hell, Do you know that God defined hell? It's just simply this. It's eternal punishment in a solitary confinement. If you've never been in a prison, you don't understand what solitary confinement is. Solitary confinement is where they put the people they can't control. They put them away by themselves. Sometimes it's confinement that almost makes your mind explode. But hell is a place of solitary confinement. There may be a multitude there, but you will be by yourself. There'll be no party going on. You need to realize that. Hell is the wine of the wrath of Almighty God. God lit hell with His breath, and it can never go out until God dies. And I want to tell you tonight, sinner friend, backslider, God is not going to die.
That's right. Come on, Pastor.
Now let's lay it on the line. Help me if you can. I don't like to preach on this subject any more than you like to hear it. I know to approach it reverently. I know to preach it, if I can, with a broken spirit. Preaching about hell never makes any preacher popular. Preaching about hell is not pleasant for any preacher. But I've got to speak for myself. I can't speak for anybody else. I've got to tell you that the reason I preach it, when I do preach it, is because I don't want you to go there. I try to wake your senses up again and tell you, you've got to face God one more time. You've got to face God not only while you live, but you're going to face God once you die. And God's going to have the final word about what's going to happen to your soul. There's no escaping. If you do not realize that the high cost of low living, you should think about it. There is a high cost to low living. When you see people out there that are living low, they got a high cost that's coming. They don't want to pay it, but they're going to pay it. It's going to be paid in full. If Jesus Christ does not pay for your sins, you pay for them. And you'll have all eternity to pay the payment for what you could have had paid for free. It is not the will of God that any should perish. It's not the will of God that you go to hell. But sir, if you go, you're sending yourself. Isaiah the statesman, his day, the people that he preached to said to him, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things. It's in Isaiah 30 and 10. Don't talk to us about right things. Speak to us about smooth things. Don't preach to us about it's right that God is going to do that. Don't tell us that. Tell us smooth things. Tell us that we can get a book on achievement, that we can become a saint on our own. Tell us that we can be good people and only real bad people go to hell. Tell us that if a man just keeps the commandments, he's safe and he'll never have to worry about it. But I want to tell you what Jesus taught and what he believed. That if a man isn't born again, he will surely go to hell. As sure as the sun comes up in the morning, a man that has not been born again in his lifetime shall go to hell. Rich, poor, black, white. It doesn't matter. If you are not born again, the consequences of you not making preparations is eternal death. That is separation from God. Jesus himself had more to say about hell than anyone in the Bible. He made it a subject that he wanted people to understand. He said it. He said with great authority, greater than any preacher, he said it with great authority and great conviction, more than any man could ever say it. Jesus said it, and it's unpleasant truth. It was unpleasant in his day. But the devil only offers pleasant lies. Jesus offers unpleasant truth. Listen. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Three different times Jesus mentioned those words, where the worm dieth not. He's talking about solex. S-H-O-L-E-X. Solex. It's a Hebrew word for grub. It's the worm that eats on the dead carcass. After, you know, the understanding is that these worms die after they consume. They cannot live outside of that dead carcass. But Jesus is telling them a truth. And he says, in hell, something horrible happens. The process of decomposition never ends. There is no annihilation, no liberation. There will be only separation from God. The worms will never die. In other words, you will never disappear. They'll always be you and the worms gnawing on you, and he will do it for all eternity, where the worm dieth not. After a while, you put us in a grave, we turn back to dust. We turn back to decomposition. There's just about a handful of us. But not so in eternity. We will not have any liberation. We will not be delivered. There's just no way of escape. There's no way to tunnel out. There's no hope of any relief. No, we're trapped and forever trapped. We're trapped in a confinement that we can't get out of. We're trapped in a night that there'll be no day. We're trapped in torment that there's no way to annihilate it. You will suffer the consequences of low living, and you'll consecrate it forever. You will not forget one bad habit. It will gnaw at you. You will want a drop of water, and there will be none to be given. You will want a drink of liquor. There will be no way to get it. You will want a fix, and there will be no fix. You will want, because you will remember how you lived in this life. And the things that drive you now will drive you mad then. No wonder God gave his only son. No wonder Jesus died for us all. He fixed a way of escape. Jesus is the way to escape eternal damnation. Believe upon him. Repent of your sins. You can escape the oncoming torment of hell. But it's your decision, sir. It's your decision, sister. You can sit there and watch yourself slide down until there's no other place for you to go but hell. The word hell is derived from a Greek word, Gehenna, which just means perpetual burning. They got that out of the valley of Hinnom, outside of Jerusalem, where they drug carcasses and burned them. It was a continual burning. That's the only way they had to get rid of the residue. They burnt the bodies of those who died in the streets. They burnt the excess of the sacrifices that the temple could not absorb. They took them all, drug them down to the valley of Hinnom, and there they let them burn. Jesus was standing when he was teaching on hell and pointing at that valley, the smoke of it coming up, and he pointed to it and said, and that's the way hell's going to be. It's going to be an eternal burning, an eternal consuming, an eternal torment. I don't know if you think about hell, but every once in a while, hell is described as that kind of place, a place of continual burning. The essence of hell is judgment. Because of sin, the sinner is ushered through hell, wide open doors, into hell a place of judgment. Now, my friend, where are you going? What do you think you will have at the end of your life? Listen to what it says about hell. Hell is not standing still. The Bible says of hell, hell hath enlarged herself. You say there's no room? Oh yeah, hell is enlarging every day, moving its borders back, moving its place, enlarging itself because it's got more sinners to receive. Multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision, and some of them are never going to come out making the right decision. Many are called, few are chosen. Amen. There is in all reality a place called hell. First of all, I want you to look at what the Bible says about hell. It's a place of total darkness. Total darkness. You can't have a party in darkness. You can't enjoy company in darkness. Darkness breaks down into solitude. Darkness breaks down into isolation. The darker it gets, you can't see the hand in front of your face. I have never realized that until I was a young man and we went down into the caves in southern Indiana and we went in a flat bottom boat and the man pulled us back into this cave, and he got us further enough back there that the light of the entrance was no longer any power. And when he got us back there, he shut the light out. He said, now close your eyes tight, open them quickly and look, and then close them back. He said, your eyes will try to adjust to a light, and there's no light to adjust to, and they will burn themselves out. And then when he turned the light back on, he said, look over the boat at those fish. Those fish have eyes, but they're blind. They went blind in the darkness of total darkness. Don't tell me about a party. Let me tell you about torment. Don't tell me about a good time. Let me tell you about the most excruciating loneliness that you'll ever face in your life. Don't tell me about having fun with your neighbor, because you won't be able to find them even if they're next door to you. There it is. There is a place of total darkness. A long, dark night is coming. There's no expression of love there. There is no expression of hope there. There'll be no songs of joy in that night. There will be no godly courses. There will be nobody that can comfort you. There's a long night coming. How black is that night? How black is your sin? How black is that night? How black is your life, sir? How black, how dark is that night? How tormenting is it? More tormenting than the demons that get in you when you begin to want that drink, when you begin to want that fix, when you begin to want that cure. Here it is. That night will never end. Will never be another sunrise. Darkness, chains of darkness. You will not need no literal chains to hold you. How can you find your way out of total darkness? You can't. A prisoner of darkness in hell. The night's coming when there will be no courses. There will only be the unending wailing, the unending gnashing of teeth. There will be weeping, great repentance. There will be prayers that are unheard of God. It will go on constantly, day and night, but that's hell. What makes it hell? Because there's no hope. What makes it hell is because there's no Savior there. What makes it hell is because there's no way out. Once you're there, you are there forever. Make no mistake about it, sinner friend. There's a night coming for you and for all whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You will go to hell if your name is not in that book. You will. Can I stop you? Only by pleading with you. Can I prevent it? Only by telling you about it. Can I change your mind? No, you'll have to do that. And while I'm trying to change it, the devil will be sitting on your shoulder telling you 15 reasons why you shouldn't be in this church tonight. And another 15 reasons why a preacher, as crazy as that man, should never be preaching on hell to a bunch of good people. But I tell you, friend, not everybody in this building tonight is a good person. And there's some folks that need to hear about it that they may escape it. I hope there's never a time when I won't take up this subject. I don't like it. I don't like it too much. I love you too much to try to hammer this into you. But I must. If you go to hell, you'll go to hell, and it won't be because God don't love you. You're going to go to hell because you don't love God. You won't go to hell because God hasn't made a way for you to escape it. You'll go to hell because you're ignoring the way that God has made for you to escape it. God doesn't send anybody to hell. You go there free volition. You choose to go there.
That's right.
I've told you before, I had a friend. His name was Cotton. Cotton Luttrell. Cotton was in the Second World War. He was just a young man and got out. He made it through the war. He come home. He took up drinking, carousing, lost his family. Living in a little shed behind his mom's house. Cotton almost got blown into eternity when he put his shotgun over the fence and it went off and just missed his head and blew part of his chest muscles off as it just went just straight up and almost put him in eternity. We were very thankful that Cotton escaped that. But one night he went out and started drinking. When Cotton started drinking, he didn't know when to quit. He got drunk. He staggered back to his little shed behind his mom. He went to bed smoking. He went to bed smoking, and then the fire caught. The mattress caught on fire. The little shed caught on fire. It was just a cheap little old thing. One of his brothers run back there and kicked the door as hard as he could kick it and swung it open and reached in underneath the smoke to feel. He found Cotton. He got a hold of him, tried to pull him out, but all he got with the first grab was nothing but loose skin. And that, my friend, is light considering what hell's going to do to you. You see, we don't like to talk about it. Dad, mom, young person, are you really going to go to hell? Is that what you really want for your children? Mom, dad, are you going to lead your children to hell? Are you going to make fun of Jesus and the cross and the church and the choir and the singing? Are you going to mock Christianity till they laugh at it and say no one needs it when it's the only door of escape? Blasphemer, cusser, you filled your mouth with all kinds of talks and oaths against God. You shook your fist in God's face. You took his name in vain. You made God your enemy. You took God on and said to God, I don't need you. But let me tell you something. You're going to have to go to hell simply because you won't repent. How can you repent? God is going to require every word that you spoke out of that mouth. Every word that you said will be brought to judgment. How are you going to tell God not to send you to hell when you told God to go there himself? You were bold and you were brave and you were fearsome. But now, my friend, your knees will knock. Your teeth will grind. You'll wail. You'll scream. You'll lament, but let me tell you, You'll have to go to hell. And in that time in hell, you will use the same language that you used on earth. You'll still be angry with God. You'll still be taking God's name in vain. You'll still be threatening God. But God will sit on the throne of heaven and laugh at you. When your calamity shall come, and it will come in hell, God will look down upon you and laugh at your calamity. Because you made your boast that you didn't need him. But in hell, the realization will be so vivid that you need him, and he will not come to you. Drunkard, you've had your mind be clouded with drink. You've drunk your way till your strength is gone. Your health is wrecked. You look back over your life and it's in shambles, all because of a bottle. Time and time again, you've gone into your drunken stupor and left your life just go to pieces. But regret? No. Drunkard, God loves you. Praise God, he does. And there's hope for you in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But you can't have that bottle and have God. You can't have those drugs and have God. You can't live that life of fornication and adultery and expect to go to heaven. You can't live with somebody else's wife and feel immune from the punishment that will come. You can't break up homes and expect for God just to overlook it. He said to an adulterous woman, taken in the very act of adultery, he said to her, go and sin no more. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And praise God, they can be. But if you tell God that you are not going to listen to him, and you tell God that you can live in a life of fornication and adultery and not fear the consequences of it, son, listen to me. Just because Hollywood does it, doesn't make it right. There's a consequence to low living. If Jesus Christ has forgiven you and your sins are under the blood, that's none of my business. But I'm talking about people who are living in open sin in the face of God and don't care. They know it's wrong, but they still don't care. I'm not talking about your past. I'm talking about what you're doing right now. The blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse from all sin. I'm the first to preach that. I'm the first to believe that. But let me tell you something. You can't live in constant sin in the face of God without God being angry with you every day. Hell is a place of total despair. As sure as there's no mores in heaven, there's no's in hell. Did you know that in heaven there's no more pain? But did you know that in hell there'll never be a minute when you don't have pain? Do you know that there's no sorrow in heaven? But did you know that every minute of every hour of every day will be filled with sorrow and anguish and regret in hell? No, there's no hope in hell, no optimism in hell, no faith in hell, no encouragement in hell, no kindness in hell, no singing in hell, no love in hell. And there's no children that is not at the age of accountability in hell. No smiling, no forgiveness. Excuse me. Even in hell, they have no hope of dying. Here, no matter what your sickness is, there's a hope you can die. Anybody say amen?
Amen.
You can have the worst kind of sickness, but there's a hope you'll die and get out of it. But in hell, there is no hope of ever dying. There's no hope of being annihilated. Some people, like my uncle Elmer, he came back in the Second World War and he was mean. He went through some rough times all the way into the occupation of Germany, to the liberation of those camps, and he came back. He was mean. My grandma used to talk to Elmer and pray. She had prayer for him every time she went to church and requested people to pray for him. My uncle Elmer used to say, "Ah, hell, I will be buried in a rubber casket and bounce my way through that place." He had already been in hell in the Second World War. He thought nothing could be any worse than that. But at about 63 years of age, he found the Lord and started crying. He said, "I wish I had done this years and years ago. I wish I'd have made peace with God." He would have soon found out, if he hadn't repented, that his rubber casket theory didn't work. And you will too. All your jokes about hell will dry up. All of your laughter about hell will dry up. Hell is no joke. You're not helping me. According to Matthew 25 and 41, hell was not prepared originally for people. It was not prepared for us. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. Therefore, I conclude from that you really don't belong in hell. You're going there as an intruder. You're not invited. You're actually forcing your way into what you're going into. You don't have to go, because God does not want you to go. It's not God's will that any should perish. But if you're stiff-necked and you're proud and you're haughty, you're going to fall. And you can fall outside of grace. There's not a place that the grace of God cannot reach. But there's a place that you can fall that you won't reach. There's a way that you can fall that you can't get up. And there, the end of it is, my place is, you will have no hope of ever escaping. Hell is a prepared place. It's prepared by God. No, my friend, hell will not be a home. There'll be no comforts there. Hell is the furthest thing from home that you can imagine. Hell is a place where hate is, not love. Where you'll find people of such great hatred that they'll hate you. They'll gnash on you with their teeth. They'll weep and they'll wail. Wouldn't it be a shame if you led your family to hell? Wouldn't it be a shame that you took that boy and that girl to hell? Wouldn't it be a shame that you lost the things that you loved the most to a horrible place like hell? What are you doing to keep the loved ones that you have from going to hell? Are you praying? Are you pleading? Are you serious? Place of hell is a place of total timelessness. Total timelessness. The word forever and forever and forever and forever and forever is in the very pits of hell. Hell's a prison where written upon every chain is written forever. How long will you be there? A lifer has a chance of parole. But there's no parole in hell. Are you listening to me? When somebody slips through your hand of love, when somebody goes to that place, they cannot be reached. You have just confined them to forever. A place of timelessness. A place where there will be no ever escaping. The flames of fire in hell belch out forever. They look up and they try to find God, but there is no finding God. He is nowhere to be found. They hear millions of screaming voices, and they hear the word forever. The minds and the gulls and the hearts are pained with the thoughts, but it is forever. Would you tonight entertain the thoughts of escaping from that awful place? Would you tonight let Jesus touch your life? Would you tonight stop your downward slide? Would you tonight realize that you may be the only person between the person that you love and hell? What are you doing about that awesome responsibility? Listen to what the Bible says. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. There it is. Explain it away if you wish, but that's in your Bible. Revelation chapter 14, verse 11. Listen to what the Holy Ghost writes to us about hell. It said it is a place of torment. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night. A trillion years in hell. A billion years in hell. It's impossible to have a calendar that reaches forever and ever. Alienation, suffering, separation, the horrible thought that you can never talk to God, which tonight I offer you an altar and God will be waiting to talk to you. A place where God cannot be found, but tonight I offer you an altar where you can find God. The blood of Jesus Christ is never in hell, never can go to hell. But tonight I offer you an altar where the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you from every sin. Tonight I offer you a way out, sir, and it's free. Yes. You will not have one single moment in hell with Christ. You will be throughout an endless eternity looking for Him, but it will be endlessly hopeless. Without Him, it is a hopeless end. Are you helping me? I want to talk to you just a few minutes and I'll be done about the torments of hell. First, the greatest torment you'll have in hell is the absence of the presence of God. Most of us that sit here tonight under the auspice of my voice have felt the presence of God. If I ask you if you had, you would raise your hand willingly and say, yes, I have felt the presence of God. But you will not in hell. You will not find a place where you can touch God. It will be one of the greatest torments to know that God will never hear you, none of your prayers. You will not fear the fire as much as the loneliness of being a castaway, a reject, a throwaway. Paul had that great fear when he preached. He said, lest I preach to others and myself be a castaway. A castaway is when you find something that's of no longer use and you throw it away because it's of no more use. God will have soul after soul that He will tell, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Depart into the lake of fire. Depart into outer darkness. Bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. When God is through with you, sir, He will throw you away. The Bible says from the mouth of Jesus, I tell you who to fear. Fear not man that can take your body and your soul. That's all he can do is destroy your body, but he can't destroy your soul. He said, I tell you who to fear. Fear God that can take both body and soul and destroy it. What will you do? What will be the thought when you know that God has no more use for you? You will find yourself in the corridors of hell walking those dark, midnight, black halls of hell. And you will say to yourself, I have failed God. I failed God. I failed myself. And hell will be a place of torment. Next. It'll be a place of eternal separation from loved ones who have died in the Lord, and you will be in the torments of heaven. I cannot explain the half an hour of silence in heaven, but I think that sometimes, as we read in the Gospel of Luke, where the lost man dives, looked across and saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, he could converse, He could talk. He talked with Abraham. He sent a message across the great divide asking that that man, Lazarus, could be turned loose from over there and just dip his hand in some water and bring the drippings of his hand back to cool his tormented tongue. Could that half an hour of silence be when the saints walk up to the perimeter and look over at the lake of fire? And the tears will be wiped from their eyes, and there will be no more hurt. Is it possible that they that are in hell will look up and see your face, and the lasting memory of your face will haunt them the rest of their life, knowing that they could have went to heaven with you, but they decided to go to hell by themselves? Memory will prove a torment. You mean, Brother Sutherland, that people will have memory in hell? Oh, yes, you will. You'll remember all your good times, but you'll remember your bad times. You'll remember everything. There you are. What kind of memory do you have? Do you know all that God has to do to make you recall everything and just touch it? You have total recall. There are people who are blessed with it now. They can read this Bible and then quote it backwards and forward. They have total recall. Brother Leon Buzzard's brother was in the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Brother Leon's brother had total recall. That's why they took him into the government bureau, because he had total recall. They could let him look at documents, and there they were. They were fixed in his mind. Years later, he could recall them just like that. It's in you. What are you going to do with that endless time of eternity when God touches you and you cannot forget? When you remember every curse word, when you remember every slutty word, when you remember every four-letter word, when you remember every appetite, when you remember every pain you've inflicted, when you heard people plead with you, don't do that. Don't do that. What are you going to do about memory? It will be forever that you will remember. I think that you need to understand that. Listen to these words. There was a certain rich man which was clothed with in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and Lazarus likewise evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, betwixt us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray for thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. One thing the rich man in his story took with him to hell was his memory. He remembered five brothers. He remembered how they lived. He remembered they were on their way to hell. He remembered. He remembered. He had memory. And you will remember too. You'll remember how you went to hell because you turned down the opportunity to pray. You laughed your way out from under conviction. You've laughed your way out of a lot of things. You've been the tough guy. You've been the hard woman. You've just said and made up your mind and said, I am not going to. But one day, you'll regret through all eternity that you were the Mr. Tough Guy. You'll regret. You will weep and regret. You will grind your teeth in regret. You will bite on yourself and regret that you laughed off the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, that you trampled mercy under your feet. You'll remember all right, but it'll be too late to have another altar call. You're beyond altar calls when you go to hell. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him that is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. We take our excursion through hell. We are immediately able to discern what the creed of hell is. And this is the creed of hell. I will do as I please. You're on your road to hell when you got that attitude. Your children are on the road to hell when they have that attitude. Your husband and your wife is on the road to hell when they have that attitude. When they will not be turned. When their neck gets stiff and their heart gets hard and they say, I'll do as I please. That's the first step down the ladder to hell. When you start saying, I don't care who he is, he's not telling me. Be warned. You're on a slippery slope that's sliding down to the pit. Everybody who is in hell right now is there against the will of God. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance or the knowledge of the truth and repent. It's possible to stand on the banks of the lake of fire, and we would immediately see one who has been at the time of Christ, preaching, praying, persuading others to follow Christ. Imagine that. His eyes saw crooked limbs straightened, blinded eyes to see, deaf tongues, deaf ears to hear, and dumb tongues to sing. He saw the dead get up. He saw fish and bread multiplied from the hands of Jesus. He heard the heartbeat of a Savior. He saw into the eyes of a man full of compassion, whose will it was that none should perish. And yet this man went to hell. Can you think about that? Can you imagine this man preaching the kingdom of heaven? Can you imagine this man laying his hands on the sick, eating with Jesus Christ, seeing miracle after miracle, and yet Judas is here in hell, helplessly and hopelessly here in hell. Judas, you shouldn't be here. You had every opportunity not given to most people. You walked with him. You talked with him. You ate with him. You ministered with him. You were commissioned of him. And you're in hell? Oh, don't laugh at it, my friend. There's such a man as Agrippa, spiritually hungry. He heard the gospel preached by one of the greatest preachers of all time, the Apostle Paul. What power, what anointing, what spiritual influence Paul had, and all Agrippa could say, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost, but not good enough, Agrippa, to escape hell. And you sit there tonight, almost persuaded to change your ways. But almost is not good enough. Just a little more, and Agrippa could have escaped hell. Almost wasn't good enough. And it's still not good enough. Agrippa was an almost Christian. He almost repented. He almost gave his life to Christ. He almost went to the altar. He almost got his heart right with God. But almost is not good enough. What about you? What about you? There are people who make a living walking the tightrope. They do it with nets under them. They can be saved from a fall by the net. But the tightrope you're on, sir, there's no net. You fall off of a sinner's tightrope, you're going to go to hell. God loves you too much. Listen to this poem, Hail the Prison House of Despair. Here are some things that won't be there. No flowers will bloom on the banks of hell. No beauties of nature we love so well. No comforts of home, music and song. No friendship of joy will be found in that throne. No children to brighten the long weary night. No love nor peace nor one ray of light. No blood-washed soul will face beaming bright. No loving smile in the region of night. No mercy, no pity, no pardon, no grace, no water. Oh God, what a horrible place. The pains of the lost no human can tell. One moment's ease, there is no rest in hell. Hell, the prison house of despair. Here are some things that will be there. Fire and brimstone will be there, we know, for God in His Word has told us so. Memory, remorse, suffering and pain, weeping and wailing, but all in vain. Blasphemers, swearers, haters of God, Christ rejectors while here on earth trod, murderers and gamblers and drunkards and liars will all have their part in the lake of fire. The filthy, the vile, the cruel and the mean, what a horrible mob in hell will be seen. Yes, more than humans on earth can tell are the torments and the woes of eternal hell. Young people, gray-headed people like myself, you don't want to play with God.
That's right.
Listen to me as I tell you, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You cannot run fast enough to outrun the arm of God. You cannot hide in the deepest cave and escape the judgment of God. They will cry for the mountains to fall upon them. There's no mountain that God can't move to get to you. For the dead shall come up from the depths of the sea. And no matter where you're at, if you're in the stars of heaven, if someday some astronaut dies in space and they jetting him out there in space and he goes floating through space, he will not escape God, for God will bring him down.
Oh, yes.
Right. Yes. Accept this warning from this preacher who loves you. Accept this Sunday night sermon as truth. Whosoever you are, wheresoever you are, God can forgive every sin. God can forgive every sin. As surely as there is hell, there is heaven. As surely as there is sorrow, there is virtue. As surely as there is law, there is grace. As surely as there is death, there is life. As surely as there is retribution, there is restoration. As surely as there is a devil, there is a God. As surely as there are demons, there are angels. As surely as there is punishment, there is pardon. As surely as there is sorrow, there is joy. As surely as there are screams of torment, there are shouts of joy. As surely as there are moans of hopelessness, there are songs of hope. As surely as there is no escape in hell, there is an escape tonight from hell. Right now, mercy's door is still ajar. Come to Him. Just as you are, right now, this moment is your chance to escape a devil's hell. You've been talking, you've been talking about getting right with God. Tonight's the night. The warning has been issued. The invitation has been given. If you're going to escape, don't let that door of mercy close on you. When I was a young man in Pentecostal churches, they would preach hell hot. And they would tell you, there's a line drawn about right on every man's path. There's a line drawn unseen. And they would warn you and say to you, you go beyond that. That's the point of no return. You go over that, you can't get back to God. You go over that, there's no hope for you, sir. God will give up on you. God will let you go to hell because that's where you want to go. But tonight I preach to you and tell you, you can be born again tonight. You can have every sin washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can have every spirit that's wrong in you righted. You can get right with God right now. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. And tomorrow may never come. But tonight, while you're hearing, you can be saved. Are you ready to give your heart and life over to God? Are you willing to let God deal with you so that you can be saved? Now listen, I warn you as a minister of Jesus Christ, you can go to hell from a church pew. Listen to me, girls. Just because you sang in a choir doesn't mean that you're right with God. You must be born again. Listen to me, boys. Just because you sit here and your mom and dad sits here and they make you come doesn't mean that you'll go to heaven or make the rapture. You must be born again.
That's right.
You can't ride anybody's experience to heaven. You've got to have it for yourself. Dad, how are you leading your family? Mad at the preacher? Can't tolerate the preacher? Well, the preacher right now is the best friend you've got.
Amen.
Don't like the message? I wouldn't either if I thought I was going there. But I met Jesus 47, soon will be 48 years ago, and I'm not worried about hell since. I know I'm saved. Do you know you're saved? Do you know you're really born again? Do you have power over sin? Can you say no to sin? Can you look at sin and say, I don't want no part of it? Is there still the roamings of sin in your life? In your heart, do you still desire to sin? If you do, you're not born again. Help me, Holy Ghost. A young man years ago, stepping out on his wife, cheating on her. Preacher went to him that preached one revival where he got saved, miraculously saved. The only young man in that revival that had a miraculous salvation. The rest of us just got saved. He talked about getting in his car, heading for town. And the Holy Ghost took the steering wheel. Turned it, took him down the road. He ended up at church in the parking lot. He got out. He testified after he prayed that night. He said, I really didn't want to be here. But he said, every time I tried to go the wrong way, the steering wheel turned the other way. Sounded good to me then because I was just a young convert. And I thank God for such divine intervention. But then later in life, the preacher that preached that revival went to him and said, son, you need God to help you raise your family. He looked at that preacher and said, I don't need you and I don't need God. I can raise my family.
God, have mercy.
Let me tell you something about his terrible end. Not much later after he said that, he got in the car, cheating on his wife, and went to see the girl that he's cheating with. He left her house and went down the road. Unbeknown to him, he came into a curve, and when he turned the steering wheel, the same one that got him to church, he turned it. The tie rod snapped. He went over an embankment, hit a tree. The car exploded, and he burnt. When they pried the door open, his hands was on the wheel, his face over the steering wheel, burnt beyond recognition. Did God know that that was in his future? That's why the preacher went. To warn him, you need God. You're sitting here tonight feeling pretty smug, pretty tough, and you saying, I don't need God. I tell you, there may be something just waiting down the road. And this night was preached to you that you could escape it. Where will you turn and to whom will you go? I am the door. I am the life. I am the truth. There is no escape except by me. Who will you turn to? Ah, the folly of man. You are temporal. You are but a moment, and eternity is so long. I stand tonight in your midst and I plead with you, take second thought. Take thought. For hell is real, and hell is ever enlarging itself. I speak to you in tenderness and in mercy, and I warn you, I am warning you, I will not continually warn you, but I am come tonight to warn you, change your ways. Your ways do not please me. You laugh and you mock and you make fun, and you act as though you are your own. All souls are mine, and the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. I say to thee, is there a name written in my book? I must write it there. It must be in my blood. If thou hast not gave thyself, then you will surely lose your own soul, saith the Lord. You want to come tonight? Are you coming tonight? Are you going to fix it tonight? This is the altar call. You need to get up right now and you need to come. Come now. Come quickly. I don't care if you have been here. I don't care who you are, who your kinfolk are. If you don't know that you are right with God, you're not. If you don't know it beyond a shadow of a doubt, you're not. And you're taking a horrible chance of dying in the night and going from a soft pillow to a burning hell. Are you going to come? You need to come. I don't care how young you are. Don't you play with me. I'm warning you tonight. You had better make sure of your calling and election. You're not dealing with me no more. I preach the message, but now the altar call is the Holy Ghost. You're not dealing with me. I'm stepping out of the way. You're dealing with the Holy Ghost. You're dealing with somebody that knows everything about you, knows every sin, knows every thought, knows everything. He knows everything about you. Are you ready to come? Stand so folks can get around you if you're not coming. Reach over and ask your neighbor, are you right? Come on, stand with me. Brother Rick, this is serious enough. Young man, are you saved? If you're not saved, you need to get saved tonight. Young lady, have you quit your sinning ways? You still sinning? Think you've got it hid? Think nobody knows? Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. I'm preaching to you as a man of God, and the Holy Ghost is on me, and I know it. Right now, you need to come out of there, and you need to pray. The days of your hiding is over. Are you hearing me, young man? You've sat in that back until you've set your grace out. You need to get back up here and get that spirit back, that broken, contrite spirit. You need to come back to God tonight. Others need to come. Come right on this. Jane, come pray with her.